Desert Island Bible Might Be Cast Away. It's a headline that caught my attention during this week. I'm sure you know the program Desert Island Discs, even if you've not heard it for a long time. But the format of the program hasn't changed for more than 70 years. You may recall that on your island, you're allowed your 8 records, a book of your choice, a luxury item, and there on the island are the complete works of Shakespeare and the Bible. But the National Secular Society have campaigned about the imposition of the Bible, and their spokesman says this week, "We think it's rather sad that people are forced to take the Bible with them if they don't want to." He said, some people think it's only a bit of fun, but the idea that everyone wants to learn about Jesus, some of us don't. Well, having read the gospel just before I saw that headline, you think, how apt is it? Because we sing peace on earth to people of goodwill in our glory, following, of course, the angels who sang it on the first Christmas night. And we often think that the coming of the Lord Christ and the proclamation of his gospel will immediately result in a great wave of goodwill and Christian charity. And yet, Jesus centers it there, what he's come, the real purpose of his mission. Not union, but division. Division because he confronts us with a challenge. Everyone who came into contact with Jesus when he was in his presence here on earth, his presence demanded an answer. And what he asked people to believe is that he was Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, the one who'd lived with them, ate with them, shared their life, laughed to their tears. Everything about life was none other than the Word made flesh, God incarnate, God come in the flesh. And as St. John reminds us, as he unfolds the great mystery of Jesus coming to us, he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. There will always be those who will, of course, receive him, and we're among them. But we know equally that there are others that will not. And they see him as either deceived or the deceiver. Because he's either who he says he is, and he's the Son of God, and we believe it, or if he's not, then they would see him as the deceiver. So therefore, the result is division. And so deep, Jesus goes on to say, that it cuts right across family loyalties and affections of family life, which of course are very important, still are today, in Jewish society. But we know equally, in our own families, we try to bring them to the faith. We try to bring them up to know and understand and believe in Jesus. And we do all we can. But you know as well as I do, it does cause difficulties, divisions, deep sometimes divisions. In the same way that a man who was received as a Catholic now a long time ago died recently, none of the family wanted the funeral here, because they didn't believe in him being a Catholic, they wanted it back somewhere else. That's life. And in a way, that's reflecting what Jesus is saying. And in a way, it's writ large in the nation as well as in family life, because this large one's Christian nation, and of course so much of the Western world, now walking away from Jesus. And so that's not union. It is division. It's painful to accept. And that's why Jesus is sort of saying, I've come to cast fire on earth. I wish it was get on with it in a way, because I've come for this baptism. Because he speaks of fire and baptism. And fire and water, images both of testing and of purification. That fire, he says, that he came to cast upon the earth, a fire that burns and destroys. And that's because Jesus' total will in coming was to do the Father's will. That night of agony, nevertheless, your will, not mine, be done. And that's the confrontation with evil, the devil, with Satan, and all his works and all his empty promises. When we renew our vows at Easter, when we baptize for the first time, the one and only time, because you've only baptized once, but we hear those words, reject Satan, all his works, all his empty promises. But that's a confrontation that Jesus has. And he has to do it, because that's what he said, I've come to cast fire on earth. That's why the Father sent me. And Jeremiah was the same sort of a prophet, often seen as a Christ-like figure, because he spoke the truth, and they couldn't cope with it, so they put him in the well and hoped, not that it, maybe he would die eventually, I hadn't left him there, but of course, as you know, he was pulled out. But nevertheless, the image is the same. John the Baptist sees that when he points to Jesus and speaks about when he comes, he'll baptize you with fire, and as it were, separating the good from the bad by gathering the wheat into his barn and the chaff being burnt in the fire. And what Jesus found is the rubbish and chaff in people's lives, and we see it, we know it today. You only need to listen to news, you only need to see it among contemporaries, you only need to see and hear what's going on. There is much rubbish, there is much nonsense, there is much evil, there is much confrontation, wherever that may be. And one of our hymns we sing as we invite the Holy Spirit to come, oh, let it freely burn till earthly passions turn to dust and ashes in its heat consuming. All part of the fire Jesus comes to bring. A fire that consumes, but a fire that also cleanses, which brings us to the water of baptism, that washing, cleansing, purifying, and yet John the Baptist said he baptized you with fire, the fire, of course, of the Holy Spirit. But what he's offering us is something more thorough and more painful than the waters of the Jordan. He's speaking of his own baptism by fire, his passion, and his death. That's what he wants to get on with, the fire, as it were, within him to come out. That's why he says to James and John, can you drink the cup that I will drink? And they say, we can. And as we are baptized in a sense, sealed and signed with his cross, then we too are agreeing to that. Yes, we can too. And it can seem that the church is going through, in every age in some ways it does, but sometimes it seems worse than others. All the abuse that we've heard about and continues, and not continues, but the whole ramification of it continues resounding around the world. But many other issues equally. Our fellow Christians, the Coptic Christians in Egypt, now again under more attack, because of all that's happening out there. So much going on. We can see ourselves as being caught up in that fire, walking with the Lord. That's why, O God, our help in ages past, that's why we need the Lord's help to get us through. Because in the midst of all that, you never take one bit of the gospel, and that's the whole. What we do know is the victory has been won. It's the risen Lord that comes to the altar to feed and nourish you. It's the risen Lord that the altar represents. But it's the risen Lord that went through the cross, that fire, that baptism that he had to undergo. But remember this, the first words that he came and said to them after the victory was won was, peace be with you. Because ultimately he has won the victory. That's why after he's actually on the altar, the consecration, after that, before we come to receive, there's peace be with you, the risen Lord. And that's what he says. And that's a peace only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, can pour into our hearts, those who love and follow him.